thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Good evening, and good to see you all tonight. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Mark. And if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me tonight to Acts chapter 1, and in a few minutes we'll be looking at verse 8 to verse 11. But by way of introduction tonight, there's probably no one in here tonight that isn't in some way affected by health and safety. It's a big part of what I do day and daily. For anyone who is employed or an employer, you will know exactly what I'm talking about here tonight. You know, there's duties for employers to protect staff from harm. You know, you assess the risks and you try to eliminate them. And quite often that word risk assessments is something that we do, even here in church, when we are holding events, or we quite often have risk assessments to do. And there's policies, there's procedures, we've safeguarding policies here in church and BB and youth work. And there's many times, probably more in a work environment, where we talk about handling equipment, substances, what to do in an emergency. And there's also training that we have to get. There's welfare facilities that we need. And there's a role that we do in work. It's called a principal designer. And quite often what we do is we will look at a drawing or look at a site, and you get a red triangle and you earmark what the danger is, and you obviously try to eliminate those dangers. And if you'd seen just from the slides there, there's obviously a few of those health and safety things that absolutely are red flags, so to speak. But tonight, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 4, Jesus sat down with disciples, and he told them this word, and it's maybe not a word that's used very frequently today, but it's this word, take heed. You maybe were told that some of the older generation, whenever you were in school, take heed. And it just simply means that you're to pay attention, observe, notice. And yes, it is like a health and safety warning. And tonight I want to share with you tonight about the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And here the Bible teaches in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 to 11, Jesus gives to the disciples his final words and is lifted up to heaven. And as he's rising in the clouds, two angels appear. Here's what the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? Love this phrase. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. These verses absolutely tell us about the day that Jesus left earth and returned to heaven. They also give us a very clear and specific message that Jesus will return again. As he was lifted up into heavenly, suddenly there was the two men appeared wearing white clothes. I absolutely believe that they were angels sent by God, and the main job of angels in the Bible is to bring a message. And they had a message that day for the disciples. As they stood staring up to the sky, as Jesus departed from them, the message was simple. This message was clear. Jesus will return to the earth in the same way that you have watched him depart. And as we look around our world today, we can see that there is many problems. We have poverty, sickness, we have wars, pollution, fighting, immoral living, laws, and many other terrible things that are happening every day. And every time we hear the news or we pick up a paper, it's nearly always bad news that has happened. I'm going to say just right at the start, this world needs Jesus to sort out the mess, the turmoil, the destruction that humanity has made of this world. Our nation needs Jesus. Our land here, north and south, needs Jesus. Our town of Ballymoney needs Jesus. Our schools need Jesus. Our workplaces need Jesus. Our families need Jesus. And individually, collectively, we need Jesus. To be sure that it is not in a political system, it is not in the reign of governments, presidents, kings, or sovereign heads of state tonight. This world needs Jesus. And when Jesus returns, the Bible tells us that he is the one who will reign. We sung about it tonight, that he is the one who will rule. He is the one who will reign supreme over this world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his kingdom, there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more fighting, no more wars, and no more hunger, and no more death. And tonight I just want to answer two very simple questions about the return of Jesus to this earth. What are the signs that Jesus told us about his coming? And secondly, what will happen when he comes? So what are the signs that would indicate that he is coming soon? Matthew 23, and those chapters, Matthew 23, read them when you go home, 23, 24, and 25. Matthew 23, Jesus is completing his ministry. He is facing ever-increasing conflict from the religious leaders of that day. His teaching and his words, they were direct, they were penetrating, they were challenging the people of that day. And indeed, he was grieved with Jerusalem. His heart was grieved over Jerusalem. In Matthew 23 and 37, we read these words, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And then Jesus went out and he departed from the temple and his disciples, and he came up to show them the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you that not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." That prophecy that Jesus gave, history records that 40 years later, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70 when it was totally flattened. But the disciples asked Jesus in verse 3 of Matthew 24, they asked this very question, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" Jesus started to answer their question in more detail, and he listed several things to be looking out for as a warning that his return is getting closer. And folks, the reality is, we too here tonight, we are to be watchful, remain watchful. Why? Because that hour, no one knows the day when Jesus will return. And we read those words in Matthew 24 and 36. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." But these are the signs tonight. They give us an indication of his return, and they serve as a warning to us that he is coming. I want to just deal with a few of these here tonight. False prophets. They would deceive many people into following them and believing their message. And I say to you tonight, be careful of anyone tells you that there is another way to God without Jesus Christ. In today's world, there's this ideology that all religions lead to God. And let me say, absolutely, fundamentally, that is false teaching. There is only one way that God said to get to heaven, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus clearly stated in John 14 and verse 6 that "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. And today in this world, there are many false teaching, many false prophets, many wrong ideas about how to get right with God. And if anyone or any system is teaching something different to what Jesus clearly teaches in the Bible, he warned us about that. And today's multimedia culture world, the truth of this warning is so evident. And sadly, still so many would rather listen to false teaching than to study the scriptures for themselves. This one is in our world of the last week or so, wars, rumors of war, sadly. In Matthew 24, 6 and 8, Jesus gave this sign. He said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. The experts absolutely tell us that the frequency of wars is rapidly increasing over the last 150 years. Since 1914, we have seen two world wars. And even the last 50 years, there have been many wars across the world. It often seems that as soon as one conflict gets resolved, there's another one starts. But the end is not yet. Notice the first part of this sign that Jesus said, that there would be coupled with rumors. And rumors is very much a 21st century thing. The World Wide Web, you young people, you will know this all so well, came into existence in 1989. Google, 1998. Facebook, in 2024. We have AI, interestingly, was founded in 1956. But now in the 2020s, we have generative AI forums. This is a language to you young people. ChatGPT and GPT-3 have all accelerated this era of AI. And under, this is an interesting one, under the bed of the sea, there's transatlantic cables that connect the countries of the world where information is passed from America to Britain across the world, not in seconds, it's milliseconds, such as the technology. So news, whether it is credible or whether it is not, it can go around the world in seconds. Rumors of wars, as we are told here in the Bible, hearing of wars and rumor of wars. And indeed, Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 4, verse 12. He says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Wars, rumors of wars, another sign. Jesus also told them famines, epidemics, earthquakes. He listed these three more signs to the disciples. And we see these happening every day in our news. World population is growing rapidly. There's now more than 8 billion people in the world. The rise of the population is obviously causing lots of problems. And one of them is famine, which has been in the rise since 2010. Presently, listen to this statistic. Presently, in our world, it is estimated that 10% of the population live in famine conditions. That's more than 800 million people tonight who are starving. So famine is accelerated by displacement of population. And again, there is more people displaced in our world tonight than there ever has been at any other time. It is said that 1 in 10 of the world's population is displaced. Epidemics. We've all recently come through what was known as COVID-19 and all that that has meant to us. And quite often we refer to things before or after COVID, such was the impact on it. And some 240 million people were infected with COVID. And of course, all that social interaction that stopped. But again, talked of in the Bible, and the word also refers to plagues, pests and disease. And over the years, there has been plagues, the Spanish flu, where a third of the world's population was infected. We have the super bugs for anyone in the nursing career. We have the viruses, Ebola, MRSA, and again, people, all signs of the times. Earthquakes, yet another sign. The seismologists or scientists who analyze earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, and the frequency and strength of earthquakes is ever increasing in the world. Interestingly, there was an earthquake in Haiti in 1770. It killed 300 people. In the exact same spot in 2010, that earthquake again killed 250,000 people, wiped out into eternity. Where But we should not be surprised with these things. Jesus has warned in this passage of Scripture that they would happen before he returns to this earth. And the final sign he mentioned in Matthew 24 and 14, that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And I say to you tonight, across the world tonight, there are those who are proclaiming the good news of the gospel through preachers, evangelists, missionaries all over the world who are spreading the message of the gospel to every culture, to every tribe, to every ethnic group. And there are so many ways in this age of technology where the unreached are now being reached. And then Jesus says, the end will come. And when it comes, it will come totally unexpected. But these are the signs. And with me tonight, I'm sure you understand what we're trying to say tonight. These things are happening in our world tonight. This is the reality of time being so short. These are the warning signs that are all around us. So what will happen when Jesus comes back? So the day is coming when Jesus will return to the earth as he promised he would. When he came as a babe to a manger in Bethlehem, there was not many knew that the Savior of the world, the Son of God, had come to the earth and been born in Bethlehem. And when the angel spoke to Mary in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and 33, these were the words, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Listen to these words of prophecy. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." And I emphasize these words, "and of his kingdom, there shall be no end." And when Jesus returns the second time to establish his kingdom, it will not be quietly entrance into this scene of time. For the Bible tells us in Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." But folks, when we think on these words tonight, it speaks clearly of separation for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and sadly, for those who haven't. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life to save you from your sins, you're changed spiritually speaking. You become a new creation. You receive a new nature. You receive forgiveness of sins. And Colossians tells us of that in chapter 1 and verse 13, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been conveyed us into the kingdom. There's that word again, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And let me say to you clearly tonight, there are two kingdoms to consider. Tonight we are here physically in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, but spiritually speaking, we also are in one of two kingdoms. We can't see it, you can't touch it, but the reality is that it exists. You either live in the kingdom of God or you are the kingdom of the devil. And let me say clearly again, there is no middle ground. You live in one of these two kingdoms, two spiritual rulers. In every country of the world, there's a government that's very important, or at least it should be. If the government is good and works for the people, then generally life is good. But in the contrast of that country, if it's a bad government, life can be hard, life can be difficult. And the same is true of these spiritual kingdoms. The kingdom of God is ruled by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He alone is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who rules and reigns supreme in the kingdom of God. He is a good King who wants to continually to bless you as you live in his kingdom. And he wants forgiveness for all the bad things that we have ever done, which the Bible calls sin, which separates us from a holy God. And he wants to bring us to heaven to enjoy this wonderful eternal life there with him. And in John 14, the message is clear. As he said these words to comfort the disciples, well-known words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, how do we know where you're going? How do we know the way?" And Jesus said these words, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In heaven there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more separation. The Bible tells us that every tear will be wiped away, for the former things are passed away. In contrast to the kingdom of the devil, it is ruled by Satan. He rebelled against God, and his desire was to be worshipped. God couldn't allow that wicked rebellion in heaven, so Satan was thrown out of heaven and the angels who followed him. Be clear tonight, his purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. And in our world today, with all its confusion, its wickedness and evil happenings around us, its influence originates from the devil. It is his desire for you to spend eternity with him in that terrible place the Bible calls hell, which is the lake of fire, that place of endless torment. And he knows his final destination and wants to bring as many people with him. But I'm saying to you tonight, there is no middle ground. Regardless of how you see yourself in spiritual terms, there's no middle ground between these spiritual kingdoms. And over the last couple of weeks, we have seen borders being breached in war. And a border is a line which separates one country from another. You usually see physical borders being defined by fencing and security. And folks, you're either on one side of the border or the other. And as you approach the border, you make the decision to cross over the border and enter another country. And it's the same in the spiritual world all around us. You make the decision where you will live in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. And I say again, there is no middle ground. That is the choice tonight. But here's the reality. To change kingdoms, if you're living in the devil's kingdom and you know that you're in the wrong place spiritually speaking and you need to get out of there, the good news is that you can leave the kingdom of the devil and cross that border into the kingdom of God. To move between countries, you need a passport. It's that official document certifying the holder's identity and citizenship, entitling you to travel under the protection of that country. And the spiritual passport that we need to get into heaven, it is not a denomination. It is not what you and I have done. Your passport to move out of the devil's kingdom and into that heavenly one is one that is stamped forgiven. That's all that matters. Being forgiven of our sins. There is no other stamp that is of any importance. That's what makes the difference in the presence of God. The Bible uses a word, being forgiven. It's a New Testament word. It's called justified, which means to be declared righteous. Justified, it's a legal term. It refers to what God does for us when we trust in him as our Savior. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, God declares that we are not guilty based on what Jesus has done for us in the cross. Simply put tonight, it is just as if I had never sinned. That's the words for our passport tonight, to be forgiven. Romans 5:1 tells us that having been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we're allowed into God's kingdom, heaven, is being forgiven of our sins. There is no back doors into heaven. There is one way to get into heaven. It's through faith in Jesus Christ, where he proclaims that I am the way. No one comes to the Father in the kingdom of heaven except through him. So what is the stamp on your spiritual passport tonight? Have you been forgiven of your sins through faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, he is standing at the border tonight, at the decision of your life, with your passport in hand to cross from death to life. He's the only one who can set you free, stamp your passport forgiven, and enter into his kingdom of eternal life. And once you cross the border from one country to another, that ruling power of that country ends. And it's the same in the spiritual world, in the same way the devil has no power in the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 8 and 36, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." That's what you are in the kingdom of the devil. You're a slave. You live a life of bondage. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides in God's kingdom. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Once you cross the border, he has the power over you. And in the parable of the lost son in Luke 15, you know, he found himself living in a different country. He was a slave. He was in bondage. He had no hope. He was stripped of his identity. He was feeding pigs. He was eating the very food that they ate. But when he came to himself, and that's what we pray for tonight, that you would come to yourself and realize where you are before a holy God. When he came to himself and he journeyed to the kingdom of his Father, he there was established, wait till you hear, as a son. He was forgiven. He was accepted into the family to abide forever. And that's what God will do for you tonight. He will rescue your life and bring you into his kingdom. He no longer was a slave, but he now had purpose. He now had identity, and he now had belonging. And that's what God will do for you. In the spiritual world, the message of the gospel is acceptance. No one is turned away from the kingdom of God. The invitation is to come. And Jesus said in John 6 and 37, "The one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." That's the invitation of the gospel tonight. You are welcome. You will never be rejected. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no possibility tonight of rejection. But this is a battle we're in here tonight. Of course, the devil will try and stop you, putting those thoughts of doubt in your mind. Even as we sing those songs tonight, even as you hear this word tonight, you know he is a liar. That's what the Bible says. The devil is a liar, the father of lies. And he will be putting those excuses into your mind. You are a good person. You don't need to get saved. Follow your religion as long as you are sincere. Don't upset your family or your friendships. But the decision to cross the border tonight into the kingdom of God, I'm encouraging you to do that tonight if you don't know him. And how do you change the spiritual kingdoms? Almost finished. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Jesus met a religious man called Nicodemus. He was a religious teacher, and he knew a lot about God and religion, but spiritually speaking, he was dead. And let me say again tonight, be absolutely clear in this tonight, religion will not save you and bring you into the kingdom of God. Religion is a choice. It has rules, it has regulations, it's ceremonies. Religion, simply put, is the hand of man trying to reach up and touch God, but it never works. In contrast, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the hand of God reaching down into your life where you sit and here tonight to rescue anyone from the devil's kingdom. God is reaching into your life and wants to reach into your life tonight. Nicodemus had many questions. He knew that Jesus was different. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, but he still was confused. Jesus said these words, "Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Jesus was referring to the spiritual rebirth. And when you call upon the name of Jesus and you ask him to save you and bring you into the kingdom of God, then on the inside you are born again. The Bible tells us that if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And spiritually speaking, it is possible and essential to be born again if we want to enter the kingdom of God. Simply, how do we do it? Admit that you have sinned and done wrong in the eyes of a holy God. Admit, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into this world, died on the cross to take the punishment of our sin and mine. Believe that he rose again from the grave on the third day, as the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whoever, that doesn't exclude anyone, it's the whoever tonight calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And when you confess that Jesus is your Lord, you recognize him as your King. That rescue mission is launched in the spiritual world. And he lifts you out of the enemy country, that kingdom of Satan, across the border. And he lifts you and he places you in the kingdom of God. And tonight you can have that new citizenship. You can have your passport stamped, forgiven, and you become that new person with the old things are passed away, and you are right before God, cleansed from sin and a citizen of the kingdom of God, where the devil has no power over you. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That is the eternal security in God. There is no penetration of this border into the spiritual kingdom of God. He will never refuse you. He will never turn away. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how deep you are in that enemy country tonight. He is willing to save you. Ask worship team if they could make their way to the front. But here is the challenge tonight. Which kingdom are you living in? There are two possibilities. There is no middle ground. You're on the one side or the other. If you've ever made that decision to follow Jesus, you're spiritually speaking in the devil's kingdom and he has power over you. But I'm saying to you clearly tonight, in these moments you can be rescued from that kingdom of darkness. You can change sides. You can cross that spiritual border out of the devil's kingdom and into the kingdom of God. You have a choice. God has given us a free will, and it is your choice tonight. But I'm saying to you, in these moments, it is your decision to come into the kingdom of God for time and for eternity. He is calling you to enter through that border crossing of Calvary's finished work. When God has provided a way for you to enter into the kingdom, this is another opportunity to be rescued tonight by the hand of Almighty God. In these moments, he is reaching out in love to draw you into his eternal kingdom. Here's the challenge. Are you ready? So what about you tonight, individually, sitting here in church tonight? Are you ready to meet the King of Kings. Are you ready for the second coming that could happen at any moment? I've told you about the signs tonight that are all around us of Jesus coming soon, the wars, rumors of wars, false prophets, earthquakes, famines, pandemics, worldwide preaching of the gospel. Let's be clear about it tonight. The return of Jesus is getting closer. If the heavens were to open tonight, where will you be in eternity? Separated and lost when he comes for his own? Or will you be separated from the scene of time and gathered with the countless hosts of the saints to be with the Lord forever? After the service tonight, JT, myself, will be sitting round the front of church tonight. If you are challenged, if you want to change kingdoms tonight, please do not leave here tonight without coming to talk to some of us tonight. Folks, it's too important to put it off. Now is the day, now is the time to make sure that you are right to meet a holy God. May the Lord add a blessing to his word tonight.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.